preach tonight on the coming destruction from the Almighty. You know, the people are always talking about God is love. And I've said to you time and time again that the greatest characteristic of God's love is His justice. It simply breaks down that to this, that if He loves you and He loves the other person and He's no respecter of person, then He cannot permit you in His justice, which is love, to allow you to get away with total rebellion and open sin. He's not going to do that. And we've said time and time again from this pulpit that God declared the end from the beginning. One of the first things God did in the beginning was made a profound statement that I'm going to quote it many times tonight. I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth. Now God don't change. You know, I remember some time ago, a few days ago, when we was on that television show, and somebody kept hollering out at me, God don't change. God's the same. God's the same. Yeah, God's the same. But you notice before He ever established mercy, He established justice. Before God ever established life, He established death. He said to Adam and Eve, eat anything you want, but the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Before He established life, He established death. Before He made the light to shine, He allowed darkness to cover the face of the earth. You see, life has no validity if there is no death. Did you understand that? If there's no such thing as time, then there's really no such thing as living. If there is no night, then there's no life. If there's no wrong, then there's no right. Oh, God, I wish there was a way to get the peanut brains of humanity to understand the profound assumptions of God's truth. If there was no down, there would be no up. If there was no wrong, there'd be no right. That's the way God has always dealt. In order to establish God's love and power to save, He had to establish His power to destroy. And the world today wants to do away with God's power to destroy, or His right to destroy. But there is destruction coming from the Almighty. Mark that down. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth. You know, as I was reading that verse of scripture tonight, I thought to myself, well, aren't we just men? And now I know what Jesus meant when He said, except a man be born again. Amen. Because God is going to destroy man. All men. All flesh. When a man gets born again, he lays aside being a man. He stops being a man. He becomes spirit. That which is flesh, and all flesh is grass, and all flesh will be destroyed. That's why if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. God is going to destroy man. All men. All men. All men are going to be destroyed. Red, yellow, black, white, Jews. Come on, Gentiles. Mohammedism. Come on, it makes no difference. God is going to destroy man, no matter what name he takes. If a man is not born again and becomes spirit, he is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not going to see God. He's just not going to do it. Amen, Brother Stair. And it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him. You know, that scripture is almost too profound to understand. You know, we don't associate God with being grieved. We think God's a great big happy-go-lucky God that runs around saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, He said, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, you who think you know what love is, You who love only as men can love, and yet you can be hurt, you can be grieved, you can be bruised. How much more will perfect love, gentle love, godly love be grieved at the total rebellion that comes from the hearts of mankind? Look what God's saying here. That it grieved him. God grieved? Don't you know God is grieved as much as he loves? If God so loved, what about God so being grieved? Quench not the Spirit, it says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Words that we like to eliminate from our vocabulary. Can you picture the grief of God? Well, then measure it with his love. If you don't understand his grief, then measure it with his love. They don't hear me, Lord. How much did God love? So much that he gave. How much will he grieve? He grieves as deeply as he loves. I'm not sure I'm making that point clear. But I'm sure trying. God don't change. Coming destruction. Destruction is coming upon the face of the whole earth. I will come near to you in judgment. I will be a swift witness. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. There goes your Mr. Reagans. Against the adulterers. Against false swearers. There goes those TV reporters. Against those that oppress the hireling. There goes your rich businessmen. The widow. Yeah, the widow. Why against the widow? Because she's used her widowness as a token to be a beggar instead of a position of honor. Against the fatherless? Why? Why the father? Because again, they turned it out. Instead of trusting God, they started trusting in man to help them. This generation of fatherless haven't turned to God. They turned to the welfare. A woman wrote me today. I just had a chuckle. I read her letter. She's on welfare. And she goes to some church up there in Ohio that tells her that God wants everybody to be prosperous. But she's on welfare. And they call me a false prophet. While that church is full of people who could literally take that woman off of welfare. That's what I was telling our brother from San Francisco. Tell me again how much you pay for rent on your apartment. $525. I said, that's a sin. I don't care whether he likes that or not. That is a sin. That is an abomination in the sight of God for a single man in this country to live in an apartment and pay that kind of rent. That is a sin. Oh, well, it's where I'm living, they tell me. Well, then change where you're living. Huh? See, we don't comprehend. Can you imagine Christians on welfare? Christians on food stamps? Why? Because one Christian or two Christians or 20 Christians or 100 Christians or 1,000 Christians takes that kind of money to live just to take care of themselves. And the Bible said if you do have this world's goods, he must have it or he couldn't pay that kind of rent. They'll throw him out if he can't pay it. So he must have it. That's why it's to say Jimmy Swagger was not a man of God. The love of God does not dwell in the Pope of Rome. He does not love God. Jimmy Swagger does not love God. Jim Baker did not love God. Why? The Bible said so. Where? If you have this world's good, they had it. They still do. And you see your brother in me. And you shut up your bowels of compassion. You don't feel that need. You're not moved with that need. You're not touched with that need. How dare you say you love God? You don't. Just as simple as that. You know, I asked a brother. I'm not going to stand around tonight waiting for you folks to understand what I'm saying or to respond, because I'm going to put this on tape whether you want to hear it or not. But I asked a brother one time in Boston when he thought I was too hard with this kind of preaching. I said, let me ask you a question, brother. Is God going to destroy man? Is God going to do it? Let's settle this question. Is God going to do it? Who is he going to spare? Who is he going to let off the hook? So we know that God, this God of love, this God of mercy, this God of grace, this God of great compassion has firmly declared, I will destroy man. Why? Because it repents me that I ever made him.
Amen.
Now what in the world is man doing that they're going to make the God of love destroy them? And I never forget the old brother Elmer Burnham when I said that to him. He just stood right there and there. He said, I never thought about that. You know, it takes an awful lot to make love destroy you. You've got to do something to make love turn against you. You have got to go to extremes beyond all comprehension to make love give up on you. And yet God said because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. God turned them over. God said, I can't do nothing with them. The only recourse I have is to destroy them. Get rid of them. There's no hope. There's no salvation. There's no deliverance.
Yeah.
A generation who is totally depraved until the profound statement is that every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Statements of Jesus Christ mean nothing to this generation. He that seeks to save his own life, he says, going to lose it. And almost every Christian we know is living their life to save their own life.
Amen.
That's the thing God was trying us. I hope we pass the test. Huh? We had our existence threatened. We had our lives threatened. Did we move to save our lives or did we move to save the cause of Christ? Oh, don't answer that yet. Just sit there for a minute. He's coming again, you know. It ain't over with. Uh-uh. I will come near to you in judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against idolaters, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not. He said, that's the only reason why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that I would preserve me a remnant. That's the only reason you're still here. It's not because you're good. Not because you're righteous, but for somewhere down the line you've embraced the commandment, you've embraced the covenant, and I keep my word, God says. That's the only reason why we're here. Come on, people. Not because we're righteous, not because we're good, not because we've obeyed. I wish somebody say, praise the Lord. I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? He shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? You know, I read that over several times, and I thought to myself, is he talking about the day of the Lord's coming, or is he just talking about the day of the messenger who's to prepare the way of the Lord? You know, God is going to send a ministry of Elijah so stringent, so strict, that when he gets done, you'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because if you're not right, you won't even abide the scathing ministry of Elijah. Who will abide the day of his coming? Who's the messenger? The messenger. I was thinking about John the Baptist who fulfilled that in his first criteria. And out there came those scribes and those Pharisees and the religious leaders of their day. And John the Baptist says, "You generation of vipers, what are you doing here? Who aren't you to flee from the wrath to come? You don't even believe in God's wrath. What are you here for? You don't get that? What do you want to come out here and hear a man like me for? You know I'm preaching about the day of the wrath of God. You don't even believe in God's judgment. You don't believe that God destroys. Isn't that the way our generation is today? Oh, God's never going to destroy nobody. God's not going to put nobody in hell. What are you even listening to me for?" That's why I said to those reporters time and time again, "What the world are y'all worried about? You don't believe what I'm saying." Who has warned you to flee from the wrath or the destruction to come? And that's the reason why I think and I hope that we're here. Because we are fleeing from the wrath to come. Who shall abide the day of his coming? Huh? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Oh, I know you people don't. I know you don't like the way I'm always on your cases. I know that. You wish I would just say something nice to you once in a while, don't you, huh? Refiner's fire always burns hot. It doesn't cool down. I've told you the story time and time again about the old black lady in Savannah, Georgia. You get up every night and testify in my service. You say, "I'd like to come to Brother Stanley because he prays for me and God hears me," you know. And you know, he does. The other night, Teresa called over here, I think it was last night, on the phone. She said, "Honey, pray for Naomi. She's having trouble going to the bathroom." And I just said, "Okay," hung up the phone, whispered a little prayer. A few minutes later, I walked over and she just went out into the bathroom. Huh? I remember Sister Ruby over here one day calling, and she had a cat that was dying. She said, "Brother, instead of the cat suffering," she said, "ask God to take it." She said, "It's time for it to go." I said, "Okay, so be it." Hung up the phone. Bling! Phone rang right away. She said, "Boy, that's a quick answer. Cat was dead right away." I was thinking how I was called the other day to go down to the hospital. First time I've been in the hospital since I've been here. And I knew what they wanted me to do. I knew they wanted me to pray that God would raise up the woman. But I knew she was going to die. She was almost dead within an hour after I left the place. Somebody said, "Well, that's not God answering." Oh, sure it is. Sure it is. Sure it is. Get them right and then get them out of here. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. "He shall sit as a refiner, a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi." Who are the sons of Levi? To the ministry. "He shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Never mind. Look, go on, Brother Stair. Don't worry about these folks. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." His disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." Now, you know, we all like the word restoration. This generation likes the word restoration. Especially when it comes down to physical healing or material blessings. Huh? But the Bible didn't say he was going to just restore a few things. Can restore all things. And the things that he's going to restore that most people don't talk about is his righteousness, his holiness. Come on, oh yes. He's going to have a holy people, a right living people, a godly people. He's going to restore it because those are God's attributes. And I don't know how many times I've said this. It's wrong to seek healing. It's wrong to seek financial blessings. It is absolutely against the scriptures to do it. It's amazing. We've heard it so long the other way. That when somebody makes a statement like that, we just look and say, no. And yet, the people who promote healing and the people who promote finances and prosperity always quote the scripture that tells you what you're supposed to do. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. There is nothing to seek second. Because in the kingdom are all things. Come on. There is nothing to seek second. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat. It's not drink. Come on. It's not. It does not come by observation. It does not prove that you have it by the things you see out here. It has nothing to do with materialism. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all other things. Now, what does it mean by all things? When you take the word all things, you think you mean just everything out there? No, all things that pertain to godliness. God has given you all things that pertain to godliness. Come on, amen, to right living. But God's going to restore. Yes, He is. The ministry of Elijah is a restoration ministry. And Jesus will not come again until all things are restored. We've heard Brother Pringle. I don't know of any man that I know in America who has quoted this scripture probably more than Brother Ray Pringle. I think it's probably his watchword for a basis of his theology. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which has been spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. If there is one scripture that knocks out the imminent return of Christ, that one does. What do you mean, Brother Stair? The word imminent means He can come at any time. That scripture says He can't do it. That knocks out your little old boy preachers running around here saying Christ can come today. That says He can't do it. That Christ may come any time, that verse says He can't do it. That verse says the heavens must receive Him or keep Him or hold Him until the restoration of all things. Now I know it looks impossible to the human mind today to comprehend how God can restore all things. But that's because we don't know the things He's going to restore. See, when we think about restoring all things, we think about earthly things. He's not talking about earthly things. He's talking about restoring the things that the apostles or the prophets predicted was going to restore. And I go back to them again. The character of God, the righteousness, the integrity, the holiness of God. It ain't going to take a whole lot of God to do that. But before He can do it, He's got to do some destroying. And that's the part we miss. How long halt you between two opinions? He cried, the man of God. If God be God, then let Him be God. And you know, I read that tonight again and I was appalled. Look at this. I'll read it for you. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, look, there's no sense of arguing over Trinity or oneness. Over pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Let's quit this opinionated religion. Let's find out who God is. Let's find out who God is. Let's just find out who God is. Huh? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. You know what the next line says? And the people wouldn't even answer them. They didn't want no answer. And they answered him not a word. He said, look, let's settle the question. Let's settle the issue. Huh? It's quickly coming down to this one thing. Then said Elijah unto the people. Okay. I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Now listen to me. Everybody wants to fuss at somebody who says that Elijah thought he was the only one. Well, now he knows he's the only one. Amen. He didn't bat an eye when he said that. He called all the people together. He said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose the bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Now the people answered him. Now they finally give him an answer. And the people said, it is well spoken. Now I submit to you tonight, and I submit to everybody listening to me on radio, that the God that I serve is going to answer by fire. And I submit to you that he's going to do it by nuclear fire. He is going to do it. He is going to do it. And before I get done with this sermon, you'll know what I'm talking about. God is going to destroy this wicked world. He's going to destroy wicked man. He is going to do it. He is going to do it. I read again tonight as I was studying this little scriptures. He said, I'm weary with repenting. You've made me a partaker of your sin. You branded my name with your iniquity, God says. I will destroy man. Let no one mislead you. God is a consuming fire. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You get it? Well, how do I know which way I'm in? If you're with the crowd. For many. Are you with the many? That's how you answer it. Again, we come back to God's terminology. Amen. Straight is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Few. You get the wording? Few there be that find it. Few. You determine what road you're on by how many people are walking along with you.
Amen.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I told you, I'm talking today about the destruction from the Almighty. Oh, but there's no destruction talked about in the Bible. There isn't. Even in the message of salvation is the message of destruction. Even in the message of grace is the message of destruction. Even in the message of Christ, he that hath not the Son of God is condemned or destroyed already. Even in the message of love, there is a message of destruction. Don't you understand that God is going to destroy? See, the Father had already predicted and prophesied and pronounced that he would destroy man. Come on. He says, so he didn't send me down here to do that. He sent me here to say, look man, I am God's last ditch effort to spare you from destruction. You either accept me, believe on me, walk in me, or you are going to feel the judgment of Almighty God. Do you understand what I just said? Do you understand what I just declared to you? That when God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, he now is justified to destroy every man who refuses his gift of love. You will not come to me that you might have life. You are without excuse. I have taken away your excuse. But nobody can live holy. In Christ, you're holy. But nobody can be right. In Christ, I'll accept you as righteousness. Nobody can be perfect. In Christ, you're perfect. You're without excuse. What if God willing? I've used this verse so many times. Everybody says, oh, it's not the will of God that any should perish. Isn't that something? Yet it says right here that God's willing. What if God willing to show His wrath? God says, you folks say I'm not a God of wrath. He said, well, I'm willing to show it. He said, now you understand something. Because I'm a God of love, I just can't destroy people spasmodically. I have to have a justifiable reason to do it. So, I am so willing. What if God willing to show His wrath, listen to it carefully, and to make His power known? You won't accept His saving power. You won't accept His merciful power, His loving power. So God is going to make His power known. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Oh, hallelujah. There's some of those animal sounds that I put out. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering? Why is God permitting all this? Why is God allowing all these evil things to happen? Because He's long suffering. He's letting man go. He's giving them enough rope. Come on. But His purpose behind it is to prepare vessels of wrath. People who are being prepared to be destroyed. That's why He told you and I, don't fight them back. He said, if you fight them back, then you destroy my purpose. He said, vengeance is mine. I'm going to pay them. He said, you let them slap you on your cheek. That's going to give me a right to slap them on the cheek. He said, don't you know my slap is bigger than theirs? He said, you let them kick you when you're down. He said, then when they're down, I'm going to kick them. I talked about that at the table tonight. Boy, can you think of the justice of God when He looked down to Abraham and saw the rich man down there. Hey, Father Abraham! Father Abraham! Send Lazarus! Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and cool my tongue! Hey, he said, hey, you remember? You remember? Have you forgotten, rich man? Well, then let me remind you. Let me call to your remembrance. In your lifetime, you had good things. You lived in a nice apartment. We had nice things. Are you listening to me? Can you imagine how that must have come back from Abraham's lips to that poor rich man down there? There he was. Oh, man, I'm tormented in these flames. Have mercy. God said, I'll mock you. I'll laugh at you. Oh, but I never heard about that God. Well, that's the God of the Bible. That's the destruction that comes from the Almighty. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted, prepared for destruction? I will destroy man, God says. I told you I was going to quote that verse to you. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. He's never changed, you know. He declared the end from the beginning. God is going to destroy mortal, sinful, wicked, ungodly man from off the face of this earth. And the meek are going to inherit the earth. I'm going to keep my flag up as a possessor of this earth. Come on.
Y'all ought to hear me. That's all right.
I'm going to keep my flag up. I don't care whether y'all like that or not. Look at this. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame. And they mind earthly things. I'm talking about destruction. You see destruction there again? Whose end? Whose end? What's the end of these men like Pat Robinson and Jimmy Swaggart and the Pope of Rome and all these hypocritical religious leaders who do things so blatantly against the will of God? Their end is destruction. Their glory is in their very shame. And their God is their belly. And I can tell you right now, God hates them. God hates them. Let me read something else for you. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. You see the word destruction there? And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Are you troubled? I am. I don't think we know what we're facing. If you don't have a glimpse of glory, you ain't going to stand. God help us to get a glimpse of glory. God help us to get it. Paul said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. How could he say that? How could a man who was beaten with a rod say that? How could a man who was beaten with a whip say that? How could a man who was beaten until his back looked like hamburger and thrust into a prison, how could a man who was hungry and destitute and shipwrecked, how could he say that? What in the world did this man have? What did these people have that we don't seem to possess, that we can't even endure with our little lifestyle today? They had a glimpse of glory. They got a touch of heaven in their souls. Hallelujah. Paul said the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared. I don't know if you understand that statement. I wish you did. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. God that answers by fire. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I'm talking about the Almighty God's destructive power. Amen. This generation doesn't want to believe that God is going to destroy. Amen. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God? You don't even believe in it. Amen. God is love. God is love. God is love. That's all we hear anymore. Amen. I don't believe in the God of wrath. Do you? There were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies or doctrines that will damn you. Oh, it don't make no difference if we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. It does, my dear friend. I have a little statement back here that somebody sent me this morning, a prophecy. And I stuck it in the drawer. He said God showed him that millions of Americans are going to take the mark because of the damnable heresy of the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. They're not going to turn it down because they're taught they're not going to be here, so that won't be the mark of the beast to them. It's going to come like a trap. They're going to take the bait and be caught, and that'll be the end of it. How are you going to tell a pre-tribulation rapture person that this is the mark of the beast being put out? That don't take this mark or don't do that because that's the mark of the beast. How are you going to tell them that? Because they've been told that they're not going to be here, so therefore they're not subject to accepting or rejecting the mark. Oh, come on. And they'll take anything the world offers to them. Because they're convinced they're not going to be here. and they're going to damn their souls because they have listened to men who brought in heresies, erroneous teachings that damns men's soul. The teaching of praying to Mary is a damnable heresy. 800 million Catholics are going to be saying Hail Mary on their way to hell because they've embraced a heresy that will damn them. These Baptists who believe once saved, always saved, while they live in their sin, are going to go to hell. Oh, you against them? Against them? I'm warning them. I'm warning them to flee from the wrath to come. I'm warning you to turn from Mary and to cry out to Jesus, who calls on His name shall be saved. Hallelujah! Don't think you can sin and get by. Don't buy that damnable heresy. Why, even denying the Lord that bought them. That's what the once saved, always saved group does. They deny the Lord that bought them. He shed His blood to save men from their sins. And they deny it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses men from all sins. And they deny it. They even deny the Lord that bought them, saying His price was not sufficient. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're going to tell me it's not sufficient? It purges men. It purges. It purges. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You know what they're going to do? It says they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. I'm preaching about the destruction from the Almighty. As also in all His epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. How dare you say you ain't convinced or you haven't got your mind made up? You're ignorant. You're unlearned. You may not like that because you think you're a bright young man. But if you were so bright, you would stay where you are. Amen. And you want God to come down here and appeal to your intelligent mind when there is no intelligence there. This younger generation thinks they can sit around and say, God, come on and convince me. Convince you nothing. Amen. A man of God gets down, sticks his neck out of the line, and tells you the word of God, and you want to wrestle the scriptures. You want to twist them around hoping I'm not right, but I am right. You do it to your own destruction. Can you imagine somebody saying, we're going to wait and see whether you're right, Brother Stair. A man has been tried and tested. A man has been put through the mill. We're going to wait and see whether you're right. Ain't no such thing. You ain't going to wait. You're going to be destroyed. I'll read it for you again. And also, I'm reading from 2 Peter 3:16. And also in all his epistles, Peter was speaking. In them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. But I don't understand what you're saying. Why would God pick my generation to be the last one? I mean, don't you think I should have a time to live a little bit? Don't you understand the greatest testimony that God will have today is for young people to get excited about the coming of Christ? Amen. things which are hard to be understood. Isn't that something? A generation that's got knowledge and can't understand. I read in the paper this morning about how the scientists have emphatically again warned to California that the major earthquake that is coming is going to instantaneously kill 14 million people. And they said it is inevitable. There is no protection against it. It will completely demolish the state until there will be no way for the state to even help itself. It will have to get help from outside. And yet the people go right on to swift destruction. And it wouldn't be so bad for the homosexuals doing that, or the drug addict, because they're prepared for that. But God's people have been warned and warned and warned and warned and warned, and then sit right there and still. You go down with them, you know. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. If you stay amongst them, you come become a partaker of their deeds. You will be punished with them in their sin. I'm not preaching to you, son. I'm preaching to the radio audience. People wonder why I won't go to California, why I won't go to Florida. I'm going to make one more trip to Florida, I think, in the right time. I'm going to go to the Tampa area. But I won't hardly go to Florida because God told me about Florida. And I know what he told me about California years ago. Those are two states that God is totally, completely finished with. There will never, ever, ever be a moving of the Holy Spirit in those two states again. And that's one of the tragedies why Christians are going to be destroyed right there, because even the Holy Spirit can't even move on them. They have hardened their heart. They have stiffened their necks. We have a very good friend of ours. Brother David's worked with him. Brother Chris is on his board of directors. We've known this man for years. He's heard me say this over and over and over and over again. He'll come to R.A. West. He'll go to some of these sweet talkers, but he won't come to me. Now he's down there building a church right smack bang down in Gainesville, Florida, even though I told him, get out. And you know, God tried to get him out. And he wonders why God is sitting them on the fence. Those men, boy, how they've raised money. They have raised money. And they can't do near what I'm doing for the kingdom of God. Amen. They blow it. Well, are you not going to listen to a man of God when he warns you? It's all right. I'm going to preach anyhow. You thought I was losing my thunder, huh? Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a day of destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint. Every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Is that what it said? Peace and safety, then sudden destruction as travail. Is that what it says? Huh? They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophrah. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. Do you understand that? As with the president, so with the pauper. As with the Jimmy Swaggart, so with the poor man. It makes no difference. It's the day of judgment. Nobody escapes. Your only hope is to be gold. I counsel of you to buy of me gold. Your only hope is to be gold. Your only hope is to be gold. It will be as a refiner's fire. Your only hope is to be gold. I counsel you to buy of me gold. And then it has to be pure gold. It must be tried in the fire. Are you listening to me? The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws. They have changed the ordinances, and they have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, with the curse will the curse devour the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. It shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now go, write it before them in a table. Notice in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which shall say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, tell us lies, deceive us. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly as an instant. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may, that their heart may be whole, that their ear is uncircumcised? To whom shall I speak and give this warning? They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. How about you tonight? You think I'm preaching a message of doom? I rejoice in this. To know that our God is going to keep His word. Oh, how could you be like that? Well, look what's going to happen to mankind. Yeah, but it's not going to happen to God. I don't know if you understand me. Everybody's worried about what's happening to mankind out here. They're not worried about what's happening to God. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughters of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. I think it was the other day that Jessica Hahn from the Playboy Palace in Los Angeles asked to appear on PTL to help raise money to save it. Not even a blush. Not even a blush. Not even a blush. Not even a tin of shame. Therefore, thus saith the Lord.